Morning. Bring your greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's been good for me to be here. Truths that all have already been shared. Trust that we can continue on thinking about truth. I would like to continue on with my little series of thinking on these things from Philippians 4. The last message I preached, it's been some time, but we talked about thinking on truth, thinking on things that are true. And I don't know if you remember, but I compared our minds to that of a cockpit of an airplane and how we are to turn the controls over to God and let Him control our mind and how we think. Today, I would like to compare our minds to that of a path or a trail. Think about a path or a trail. Picture that in your mind. There are some trails in Baker City, Oregon. I don't know if any of you have been there or not. I haven't. But in Flagstaff Hill, there's Oregon Trail wagon wheel ruts there that you can still see today. The Oregon Trail is a route that the pioneers, immigrants, missionaries, gold seekers used to travel from the Midwest to fertile Oregon, California gold fields. And thousands of covered wagons pulled by oxen or horses churned the earth and made their way west, each one adding a groove through the dirt. And you can still see the ruts today, I'm told, 150 years ago. Well, like these westward bound pioneers, our minds tend to follow trails as well. Our minds like the path of least resistance. They like a path that's easy to follow, and so they take paths. And these trails, repeated and encouraged, become ruts that govern our thoughts, govern our minds, and they can be either good or bad. And it becomes just as difficult for our minds to jump out of these ruts as it would for a Conestoga wagon to jump out of the ruts of the Oregon Trail. I read that there's some ruts of the Oregon Trail in Wyoming that are up to 5 feet deep. Try getting a wagon out of those ruts. But trails can be a wonderful thing if the grooves are in the right places, in the right direction. The effort of thinking right can be greatly reduced if we have a God-tracked mind, if we have made our habit of thought to think on things of Philippians 4. You can turn there again, Philippians 4. And verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think continually on them. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. Wear a groove in your mind with them. These kind of thoughts. Follow this trail. No, we can't do it on our own strength. We need the help of God to pull us out of those ruts. If we have worn a groove in the wrong places, we need God's help to get us out of that groove and to train us in new trails and new paths. Think on right and godly things. We need God's help in that. So today I'd like to look at the second one in this list. Whatsoever things are honest. Now this may sound a little bit like the same one. May sound similar to whatsoever things are true. True and honest, is that's the same thing pretty much. But if you look at the Greek word for this word, honest, it actually has quite a different meaning than that of honesty. Honest in Strong's means venerable or honorable. Venerable means calling forth respect, worthy of reverence. Honorable means to revere or worship, to lift up, noble. And who is more worthy of honor and reverence and worship than God? Well, no one. And so we're to think on things that are honorable to God, that which is noble. To put the word honorable in there, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are noble, think on those things. Remember that what is inside, what we think about, how we think, the track of our mind will be revealed. It's called fruit, and we talked about some of that in Sunday school already. The fruit of our lives will show the thoughts of our mind, the intents of our heart. The path the pioneers took on the Oregon Trail is still evident today. That's where they went, and it's a fruit of their trip, and that's how our minds work. Our character, that's how our thoughts come out. To have a godly character, we must have godly thoughts. And Jesus is a standard for honor and character. We can look to him as an example. He proved it's possible to live in this earth, to live it in such a way that was honorable and noble to his Father. And with Jesus' help, as his example, we too can live the same way. How has your mind been recently? Are the thoughts you dwell upon filled with honor? Or are they degrading towards myself, negative towards others, dishonoring to God? Most of us would probably be appalled to have our thoughts displayed on the wall up front. It's written out what's going through your mind. We would probably be horrified, maybe. Why? Well, I believe it's a private area of our life. I can understand that. But if we want to hide our thoughts from others because of unholy, because of dishonorable thoughts, then I believe we need to remember and awake to the fact that God knows already. He knows what's in our minds, he sees and knows already. Do we care more about what other people think or more about what God sees and knows already? Are your thoughts reverent? Are they respectable? Are they disrespectful? It all has to do with thinking thoughts that are honorable and noble. Now I'd like to look at some marks of honorable thinking. What are some marks of honorable thinking? Number one I have is God is the first thought. And my thought behind this was, what do you think first when you wake up in the morning? Is it God? Is it about my busy day ahead? I think if our first thought is God, that would honor him. Psalm 5:3 says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. I believe when we awake in the morning, our first thought should turn toward God. Lord, I'm here for you today. Thank you for being my God and help me through today. Honor him when you wake up. What about when you can't sleep in the middle of the night? What rolls around in your mind? My mind can sometimes go in circles at night, maybe anxious or worried thoughts, thinking about this or that, and your mind can spin. I found that if I focus on God, talk to him, maybe recite Bible verses, it can help to calm your mind. I can fall back to sleep easier. Psalm 119:62 says, "At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments." What do we think about at night? And then what about as we go about our day? Do we find times and things that draw our minds to God? Or are we preoccupied with or busy with our own work and projects that we completely miss God speaking? Little ways that he may be trying to speak to us. Turn to Psalm 1. Familiar verses, Psalm 1, 1 and 2. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Where's our delight? What are we meditating on as we go through our day? Not just in our devotional time, but as we go through our day, day and night, it says here. Psalm 119:97 says, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Challenge to me, meditating on God all the day. It honors him, shows him where our love is, shows him that we value him in our lives. It gets an honorable thought. And what about in the evening when we finish our day? We think about God then. Thank him for protecting us through the day. Thank him for helping us in maybe difficult, trying times. What about in difficult, trying times? Is God still the first thought? Or is my pain and how I can get out of the painful situation as soon as possible, is that my first thought? Or does God want us to think about him and how he can, what he can teach us through that trial? 1 Peter 4. Verses 12-14. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." Christ is honored when we are faithful and find joy in sufferings. That's hard. That's difficult. I had to think of the song, "God is Still Good." That song challenges me. Can I say God is still good no matter what? As I look back on all of my days, so many times and so many ways, I have been blessed, and all I can say, God is still good. Sometimes the night brings sorrow and pain. Sometimes my tears flow like the rain, but through it all, he's never changed. God is still good. There have been times I've let him down, I've made mistakes, but still I have found I may stumble and fall, yet through it all, God is still good. Mercy still flows from the palms of his hands, he will give grace and help me to stand. Although he knows how unworthy I am, God is still good. God is still good when the waves roll high. God is still good all through the night. When I've done all I can and I don't understand, God is still good. Clouds of doubt may darken my way, but showers of blessing may come any day. He'll bring me through, and I'll stand and say, God is still good. Number 2, gratefulness infuses our thoughts. It's another mark of honorable thinking when we are grateful. If we want to have thoughts that honor God, that reverence him, that lift him up, then I believe that gratefulness and thanksgiving will be a part of that. It will infuse our minds. It will fill our minds. When you make a cup of tea, that tea bag you put in there infuses the water with its flavor. I think that's how thankfulness should be to our lives. It should infuse us and flavor our thoughts, our words, our actions. And the Bible is full of scriptures that call us to bless God, to thank him, to praise his name, to talk of his greatness. Here's just a few. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Notice it says, enter into his gates. The only way to enter into the presence of God, I believe, is through gratefulness, through thanksgiving and praise. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Want to know God's will? God's will is that we are to give thanks for everything. It's not always easy sometimes, but it's what he wants us to do. Psalm 105:1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Thankfulness and telling others about him brings honor to God. We just came through Thanksgiving season. It's a special time to remember to be thankful. Let's remember that thankfulness is more than just a season for the Christian. I think it's a way of life. And let's remember to thank God not only for the physical blessings, but also the spiritual blessings that we receive at his hand. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Spiritual blessings that we have at the hand of God. Number 3, another mark of honorable thinking is to be dead to self. Dying to self begins in the mind, in our thoughts, and if we are to be honorable in the sight of God, I think we must first die to self, and then we need to stay dead to self. It's like Alan was talking about, that the change that happens is an ongoing, continually, things that we need to change, and I think that's how it is for dying to self. It's a daily thing. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. It's a daily choice. If we are not dead to self, then God does not get the honor. Pride is in our life. Self is being fed, and Satan is getting what he wants. Turn to Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A living sacrifice. How can we be a living sacrifice today? Remember, these actions start with our thought choices. How do we think? We honor God by thinking these thoughts and then acting on them. I have a couple practical ways that we can be a living sacrifice and honor God in that way. Start each day by consciously offering your time, talents, and decisions to God. Lord, what will you have me do today? Lord, how can I be of service to you? Lord, there's this decision that I need, that I'm facing. Help me with it. Ask him for ways to honor him. And then be willing to adjust when God redirects. Maybe you think your life should go this direction, but God may have another plan. Be willing to adjust. Lord, what will you have me to do? Forsake all personal rights. America is full of rights, but we're here as ambassadors, pilgrims and strangers. Do we have any rights here? Do not yield to the lures of this world. There's many things that are luring us away from God, away from truth, in a worldward direction. Fashion, clothing, sports, entertainment, accessories, toys, latest tech, enticing comforts, luxuries, the world's applause and nod, the world's approval. Can we be dead to self, keeping up with the world's latest and greatest? Let's be thinking about these things. We are pilgrims and strangers here. Another way we can be a living sacrifice is to be involved in our church, in your local church, and its activities. Be intentional about supporting services. Do I have a mediocre or who cares attitude about my church participation and attendance? It doesn't really matter if I skip. Can we honor God while following him afar off? Does how I dress and my appearance when I worship and in my everyday life show that I honor him? Does where I sit in church say anything about my attitude toward the church? There are many people that have spent $1,500, $2,500 to go get a good seat at a major league baseball game. I'm not saying that sitting up front shows where my heart is, but just think about your involvement in the church. This is God's church. The church is the bride of Christ. He cares about it. And he cares about how we think about it. I just want to encourage each one of us to think about these things and ponder how we can make the bride of Christ more honorable, more attractive to him through our personal involvement and our personal enthusiasm in the work of the church. Turn to Mark chapter 8. Thinking about dying to self and honoring God. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Denying self. Number four, another mark of honorable thinking is to be prepared for battle. Turn to 2 Timothy 2. Second Timothy 2, verses 1 to 4. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I was inspired with this passage at ministers' meeting last month. Someone shared on this. And when we understand that we are in a battle, we will prepare ourselves for that. We are in the army of the Lord. We are in a battle against the enemy of our souls. What are we to do? Verse 3 says that we are to endure hardness. That means we're to prepare for battle. We live a pretty easy, pretty luxurious, and soft lifestyle, and sometimes it's easy to forget that we are in a battle. And having unrealistic expectations of life, that life will be easy, life will be full of fun, I think that thinking can set us up for discouragement, failure. But when we think, when we prepare for trials and temptations, and that fiery darts will be flying my way, I can adjust my expectations. I can adjust and prepare my mind to be on guard, to have my sword ready to fight. When you enlist in the army of this world, you're sent to boot camp, and you're not sent to Hawaii to sit in a chair and sip tea, but you are sent off to physically train, to test your limits, to build muscle, to build mental strength. You are sent to learn to fight, to endure hardness. They are put through some major test of how they can endure. They're trained to watch for the enemy's attacks, and most importantly, to follow the commands of the captain. And we are to do the same in preparing for the spiritual battles. A good soldier of Jesus Christ brings honor to God. A soldier that is unprepared, a soldier that flees in the battle, brings dishonor to the army, brings disgrace to the captain. Let's do all we can to honor God with our thoughts, with our actions, as we prepare for battle in our day. May God bless you with faithfulness to think on things that are honest and honorable to God. Let's kneel.